for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday evening, September the 3rd, 2000. Labor Day weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Chuck Flynn of Orange, California, is the minister of the evening. To those of you who haven't met Chuck, he's been a friend of ours for over 30 years, ministered in our home many times, and we used to have Friday night prayer meetings in California. He used to minister there. He and Bob Mumford sometimes came together. And we've traveled around and with him in conventions and full gospel meetings all over the United States.
Amen.
And in Europe. And he's the very first minister who ever ministered here at Lake Hamilton Bible Campground. Our first camp meeting was in December, and Chuck was the speaker for the camp meeting. That was in 1974, December 74. And Chuck's been back many times, and Marianne will be here. His wife will be here for the ladies' meeting in February. Chuck, it's a blessing to have you.
Thank you, Glenn. My, it's a privilege. Always love to come here. I go to many places throughout the earth, but there's only one Lake Hamilton Bible Camp, and I really appreciate the ministry here and for you, beloved, that support and see an arm of the kingdom of God that is not as in the front lines, but yet this is the basic authority of divine order, amen, to be set free. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And this is the camp of the indeed. Hallelujah. Turn with me to the 42nd chapter of Psalms. We're going to deal with the prophetic hidden wisdom of God Almighty. The topic is the prophetic hidden wisdom. Thank you for your word, Father. Appreciate it. Bless my brother. Loose the anointing tonight in every one of our hearts. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name.
Yes.
That we may know the burden of the Lord. Hallelujah. What you're concerned about, Lord. Amen, amen. In Psalms, for your notes, please, this is the end or the beginning, let's say, of the Exodus section. The Psalms are divided into five. The word five is pente, P-E-N-T, and then Pentateuch is what we call the first five books or the books of Moses. So you have Genesis. To understand Genesis and all of the glories of the creation, you must know how to apply Psalms 1 to 41. So that's your first section of Genesis book, the book of beginnings, and Psalms 8 reaches a great authority and emphasis of emphatic glory in the creation of men. And so you'll see the programs of God. So here's the order of the first five books of the Bible. Genesis is in Psalms 1 to 41. The book of Exodus, the great deliverance of God for His people, is in Psalms 42 to 72. Exodus, Psalm 42 to 72. Leviticus book, the book of the sanctuary, and all of the functions of divine worship, is 73 to 89. The Leviticus book, 73 to 89 includes all the feasts and all the great emphasis of Passover and Pentecost and the Feast of Tabernacles. You'll find them expressed. And then the Numbers book, the book that equips us for war. In Numbers 10, the great shofar anointing through the silver trumpets of the priesthood, of Aaron's sons, calling the leaders, calling the people, or presenting an alarm for war. That's in Psalms 90 to 106 is the Numbers book in the Psalms. Psalms 90 to 106. Now, just the ending verses there, it's about half of the verses, is the last few verses goes with the Deuteronomy section, and that is Psalms 106, B portion, to Psalms 150. And that's the Psalms, and that's the book that Jesus quoted from the most, is the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 6, verse 23. The Lord is saying, I brought you out to bring you in. And that principle has always been the same. I brought you out. Exodus 19, verse 4 says, I brought you out of Egypt on eagle's wings. And I brought you unto myself. This is where the Christian church and the apostolic authority was challenged through the Dark Ages and from the Nicene Council, the beginning of the Roman Church in 324 A.D. And from then on it was diminished, the power, the glory of that high arm covenant that God says, I brought Israel out of Egypt with a high arm. And that high arm is also in Genesis 14 of Abraham, lifting up his arm to El Elyon, the Most High God. So we see that giving of tithes by Abraham to Melchizedek is the high arm authority of deliverance in your life. That's the basic. That's the commitment that he wants us to have. Abraham, he met Melchizedek and lifted up, as he paid his tithes, he lifted up his arm and made that tremendous bow unto the Most High God. Now, the term Most High God is the Hebrew wording El Elyon. You don't hear that too often, but it's capital E-L, capital E-L-Y-O-N. And what does that mean? It means the possessor of heaven and earth. El Elyon, the captain of the host of the Lord, will bring the kingdom of heaven into the earth. So the Lord God of hosts with a high arm covenant. And that's why the king of Sodom came. Sodom and Gomorrah, the king came to Abraham in that 14th chapter of Genesis, and said, Abraham, you can have all of the supplies and all of the spoil. Just give me the souls of men. And Abraham said, I'm not going to take a shoelace from you. I'm not going to take anything from you, because then you'll take the credit of making Abraham rich. And this is why the very basic order of destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, Abraham recognized it. And sodomy is not just the perverseness of men with men and women with women. The foundation of sodomy is unbalanced desire. Unbalanced desire. Rip everybody off if you can. And so that's why this gives place, and that's why Abraham said, you're not going to give me a dime. I'm going to lift my hand up to the Most High God. the possessor of heaven and earth. Amen. So we have that divine authority now that Deuteronomy and Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, you will have a spiritual covenant from the law, what is known as the law, but the law in itself is to be restored and revived through the Psalms. And that's why Jesus was very explicit. He went through the law and the prophets and the Psalms with the two on the road to Emmaus. I would love to have walked that 13 miles, 11 to 13 miles, that resurrection day. So now let's look quickly. I want you to have your Bibles handy because we're going to go through the Word of God and the hidden, the prophetic, hidden wisdom. And one of the reasons why the gifts of the Spirit are so powerful and through the prophetic authority of speaking the Word of the Lord, why we prophesy. We'll get to that. As the heart, let's look at verse 1, Psalms 42, verse 1. As the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. A tremendous glory of the panting and the thirsting for the waters of life. Write down John 7, 37 to 39. Now, this is why I can teach for hours. The Holy Spirit's taught me, if you might use this as sort of an encouragement. I did use notes, and notes are fine. But as I have grown in grace, I will mark my Bible. So I have John 7, 37, 39. Now, when I do that, there is a hunger for the water brooks. As the heart panteth, there's a tremendous hunger in the heart of the believer. The psalmist is bringing that forth. This is the hunger that we have for the Lord. So Psalm 7, 37 to 39 is the drink offering of the Feast of Tabernacles. John 7, 37 to 39. There's the psalmist authority coming over to the Messiah, releasing the Lord, and the Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. So there were 7 days at the Feast of Tabernacles. You can study this at Leviticus 23. The 23rd chapter of Leviticus goes through all the feasts. So I was asking the Lord, and I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, does the feast of Israel apply to the believer? And he says, yes, they do. And each feast, the Passover, and then with the feast, the Day of Atonement, you've got the first fruits feast. You have the trumpet anointing. You've got Pentecost. You've got also the Feast of Tabernacles. In the Feast of Tabernacles, the book of Leviticus teaches that God wants us to build our own booth. And he said, when you come to worship, the Feast of Tabernacles means the ingathering unto him of all things. All things are of him and for him and to him. And so he wants us at the Feast of Tabernacles, and this is what happened in the days of our Lord when Jesus went to the Feast of Tabernacles in John 7. The Israelites would build their booths. Every man. The Feast of Tabernacles was 7 days, but the 8th day is very important. It was every individual had to prepare for their worship. That was the first day, but it's the number 8, which is the number for the Messiah. You've got to prepare yourself to have him and be in him and he in us. And so they came and they got their branches and they got the palm limbs. And it was like, I call it a Jewish teepee. Every man built his own booth and possibly tied it at the top, and it spread out. Now he would have goodly fruit. And the word goodly in the Hebrew means citron or citrus. So that's all he had during the Feast of Tabernacles, which is quite healthy. So he would build his booth. He would then get in there for 7 days and worship. And the sacrifice is going on. And they would come and then worship and be in that booth of authority. Now Jesus said in Matthew 6:6, when you pray, enter into thy booth. And the word closet is used there, but it is a mistranslation or misrepresentation. It doesn't mean that it's not right. It means that there's a greater knowledge of the word closet. Enter into thy love chamber. It wasn't a closet where, like we know a closet, where garments are there and hung and supplied. This means the room of your house where lovers meet to produce life. It's the intimate sanction of male and female that come together in the wonderful association to produce life. And Jesus is saying, that's your booth. When you pray, enter into my love chamber where you give me your life and I give you my life, and that births the glory of God around you, and you will birth souls as you know what your booth is. And the Father who sees in secret or in the booth will reward you openly. Hallelujah. See it? Thank you, Father. The word secret place in Proverbs, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him. The word secret there means great confidence of friends. That's sort of the surface meaning. Secret in the Hebrew means silence. You come to a place in God that He doesn't have to prove Himself to you. You don't have to keep talking to impress Him. He told Moses one day, stop praying and get these people to move. Well, you know, you have to know when that place is. But in other words, get moving with the things I've taught you. In other words, go and get to the sea and a sea will open. You go as far as you can and the miracle will take you on. I like that. So now we have that authority of the booth. Enter into thy love chamber. David Ingalls, when he heard me teach this, he wrote, into the chamber I come, Holy Spirit. It's a beautiful song of entering in to the divine order of the Lord. Hallelujah. So now these waters, on verse 37 says that Jesus was there. It was 9 o'clock in the morning on the eighth day, that last day, the great day of the feast. Jesus was oversitting, and he saw the high priest walk the 23 steps, go over to the altar, and the horns of the altar are huge stones. They're a cubic square. And at the corner of the altar where the horns of the altar is at each corner, but at the corner closest to the Holy of Holies, that stone was chiseled out. At the very corner, there is a drain or a pipe, not a pipe like we know, but just a hole in the stone. And then in the center of that stone, at the corner and in the center, two holes and they come down the stone, and just before they hit the sacrifice, they come together. And that was the order of the spear in his side, that blood and water flowed. And so when the high priest, on this tremendous drink offering, he would bring the new wine that God had brought forth. He would, in the summertime, the grapes had been produced. He brought the new wine, the wine of the Spirit, and the water of the Word. And he went over to the pool of Siloam, and he got the water. And he brought the water and the wine. He walked up the steps. And when he got to that great horn of the altar, he began to pour the wine into its place, and then the water into its place. And then, as everything was out of it, there was a gesture. And the Jewish rabbis said this was a tremendous gesture of glory and authority when the high priest would shake those pitchers of the last few drops. Hallelujah. And everybody would shout and begin to sing with Isaiah, "Oh, come to the waters." Hallelujah. And there was a great praise and glory. At this time, as he shook Jesus out of spiritual potentiality, of the glory of eternal wisdom, stood to his feet and says, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me. I'm the water. I'm the blood." Hallelujah. Amen. "Let him come unto me and drink." And then he says, this is the process. "For out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water." Hallelujah. And John then gave a little explanation. "This spake he of the Holy," or of the Spirit, "which after had not come yet, but after he was glorified or ascended." So there's no doubt that Jesus was talking about the drink offering, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, where rivers of living water are released through us with the Holy Ghost power of speaking in the heavenly language. Now, I asked the Father, what waters? Is there any connecting, revealing, spiritual principle? What are those waters? And the Father took me to the last chapter of Revelation. Revelation 22, verse 1. "Out of the throne comes the rivers of life." Out of the throne. Now, those many rivers out of the throne of life, and they come down past the tree of life. Isn't that interesting? Everything you need is in the power of the Holy Ghost through our blessed Lord. And so these rivers of living water come from the throne. Somebody asks, "Well, why do I need to speak in tongues?" You're praying the throne in the earth. You're speaking the throne. And so out of the throne comes these rivers of living water. They come by the tree of life, and the leaves of the tree of life are for the healing of the nations. Hallelujah. The power of the Holy Ghost is going to heal the nations. God will have a people that shall have authority in all the earth. And then something is very interesting. As the rivers come by the tree of life, the leaves are the healing of the nations, but there's also the fruit. Now, this is very wonderful, and it's passed over by many. But every Christian needs to know this. There was fruit from the tree of life. See, we were robbed from it in Adam's race. We have the features of Adam. We're of the earth, earthy. But bless God, we are renewed by the Holy Ghost, by the breath of the Lord. We have the quickening Spirit within us. And we're not going to be robbed from the tree of life. Adam and Eve couldn't partake of the tree of life, but we do. And in this fashion, out from the tree of life, that which was the 12 manner of fruit, one for every month. That's interesting. Of all the changes in the calendars and all types of things, God says, I've got an anointing in the year of every human being. I have an anointing for you in January, February, hallelujah, March, and April, and May, and June, and July. You think you just come and have a good time at a camp meeting? You're to have a camp meeting every month. It's an order. There's different things that change in our lives every month. You need a special anointing. Hallelujah. Now we're in September. Loose the glory. Let us know the power of September in each one of our lives. In October, you begin to move in the Holy Ghost. Father, I thank you for the anointing of this month. There's things I can't go on, that which I know. That keeps me bound. Tradition will keep me numb. But I've got to have a fresh anointing for what's facing me now. Yes, someone asked me last night, somebody, pray for me, man. It's getting harder. I love the Lord, served the Lord for years, but it seemed like it's harder. What else is new? So much as you see the day approaching. But there's a fresh anointing for this month. You haven't tapped into it yet. And you desire it, it'll happen. Amen. Let's praise Him. Glory to God. Loose my brother. Loose my sister. Hallelujah. That's why astrology was brought forth in the beginning, by nature, Paul says, people knew there was a God. But Satan has taken that tremendous knowledge of the stars and so forth, and he's put it into the horoscope. And then that releases the psychics. And see, God's going to turn that, and the children of the Lord are going to know the power and the authority of the Lord. Every month, we have a fruit from the tree of life. Amen. It's a special anointing. When we were in our mother's womb, we were conceived. And David said, Thou hast formed me from my mother's womb. I was cast upon thee, is his phrase. Psalm 22 and verse 10. Psalm 22, verse 10, David said, I was cast upon thee from my mother's womb. The word cast is a beautiful term in the Hebrew of conception. And it's embryomamaya, with the root meaning in the English, we know it as embryo. And when the zygote is formed and the protein of your life and mine and our parents' sperm and egg come together, we were conceived. But God was there. And the word embryo is where we get the word, and this is beautiful, in the Hebrew, embroidery. God was there embroidering your life. Knit one, purl two. And God don't miss a stitch. Amen? So what He has planned for you and I, and as then our body is formed, then therefore the birthing. Now, along with this, my point is, you have an umbilical cord. Now, when we were birthed out of the mother's womb into humanity, the umbilical cord that gave us strength for growth and for birthing is, of course, taken from us. But when we hear the message of the gospel, we're in that authority of confession of faith and repentance, when Christ comes into our lives, we come into a dimension of another womb. And it's in Psalms 110 and verse 3 and 4. Verse 3, preferably. And it's the womb of the morning. Now, Jesus is the womb of the morning. And everybody that believes in the Lord Jesus for their salvation is in the womb of the morning. The only difference is that there is an umbilical cord of these living waters from the throne comes all the way down by the Holy Ghost when you're filled with the baptism of the Spirit. That umbilical cord, and Jesus mentions it out of your innermost being. So he's attached it in the belly area. This is a spiritual, where your belly button is, you have a spiritual umbilical cord now. Hallelujah. And so the rivers of life come down and they're attached to your innermost being. Glory to God. When you're filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, many evangelicals are in the womb of the morning. They are not attached to the umbilical cord. They'll have an eternal home, but as far as on this earth, there is a limitation. And God wants everybody to have that strength and the living waters coming forth. This spake he of the Spirit. Is it just for the apostles? No. He wanted that for all of God's people. Drink from him. And so therefore that is the glory of the anointing of God, is that now when Jesus said ye shall receive power, he used the word dunamis and dynamo. Dynamo is a generator. So when you're filled with the Holy Ghost, he gives you a spiritual generator. Now, generator is the armature of a generator, has the many copper and the windings and so forth. But a generator is a mixture of the two magnetic forces that were created on the earth. With the equator, you have magnetic forces in the north and in the south. Your water will flow down the drain clockwise. You get below the equator, it will flow down counterclockwise. So now, these huge generators are turned by the water and in our dams, and that produces, takes those magnetic forces and winds them together, and out comes electricity. And that's why when you speak in tongues, the river's flow takes the plus and minuses of life, moves them and whips them together, and out comes the victory in every situation of your life, the power to perform. Amen. Hallelujah. There's nothing that faces you and I but what God will make a way. All things work together for good to them that love the Lord. Even the galaxies, all things are working for the bride to be performed. Amen. All right, I've got to hurry. This is beautiful. The Lord wants you and I to drink. Now we come down to verse 7. I'm back to Psalms 42, verse 7. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts, and all thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Okay, underline that, deep calleth unto deep. When you're filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, he gives you a depth. He hones out all of the flesh and the carnality and the religious zeal of mankind. This is the revelation that what caused Stephen to be martyred. Is Stephen got the revelation. And he got it from Isaiah 66 and verse 1. And Stephen, after he told him Solomon's temple was not it, God doesn't dwell in a temple made with hands. Then he told them, you've gone so raunchy in your worship, you've even sacrificed your children to Ramoth and the other gods for children were sacrificed. And then Stephen said, this is what God wants. Heaven is my throne. Now he quotes from Isaiah 66 verse 1. Isaiah is telling the heart of God. Heaven is my throne. Earth is my footstool. And so God is saying, I'm not satisfied. I can hear that when I read this, the Holy Ghost just gave me the echo of God's heart. Heaven is my throne, but that's not enough. Earth is my footstool, but I'm not satisfied with that. What house will you build me? Where's the place of my rest? Amen? Isn't that something? God is saying, I'm in heaven and I have controlled the earth, but I really want to rest in my people. There's your seventh day. What did God do on the seventh day of Genesis? He didn't rest. I mean, I'm pulling at hairs now. He changed creative ability from matter over to the bride. And he began to move in the strategy. And Jesus said, my Father works and I work also. God rested means he prepared for the people of the Lord, the bride, for you and I. What house will you build me? Where's the place that I can rest? Amen. Hallelujah. And that's why Hebrews 4 says it's the seventh day. It's the rest that God has prepared for the people of the Lord to enter into so he can enter into us. And there's a dual rest. Amen. That secret place is the rest. Heaven is my throne. Earth is my footstool. But what house will you build me? When Stephen said that, where's the place of my rest? Now the word rest is the Greek word there in Acts 7. And it is the word kataphasis, P-A-U-S-I-S. Kata, K-A-T-A, means downward. And ana means upward in the Greek. And meta means to mix, as you toss a salad. Metamorpho is the name of the transfiguration of Jesus. Means to mix, the human and the divine. But kata means down. What house will you build me so I can enter into my rest? And it means where you and I yield to the Holy Ghost, so the Holy Spirit comes upon us and delivers us and cuts us free from all satanic invasion, so the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost can make their rule and reign in our lives. That's why Jesus said, we will come and make our abode within you. The epistles are given to you and I for nothing else than to prepare us to build our house with the help of the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Spirit comes first, inhabits us, cleans us out, and sets us free so the Father and Son can make their abode within us. And the word abode is mone in John 14:23. And mone is the same word used for in my Father's house are many mansions. It's the same Greek word. So you're the mansion of the Lord. You don't have to wait till you get to glory if you let the Holy Ghost move in you. Amen. You're the mansion of the Lord. Yes. Thank you, Father. Yes, amen. Now, deep calleth unto deep. I want you to write down by verse 7, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 7 to 10. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 7 to 10. Deep calleth unto deep. Underline that. 1 Corinthians 2, let's go there. This is the hidden wisdom. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 7 to 10. This is a wonderful chapter. He said, my speech and my preaching. In verse 4 of 1 Corinthians 2, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Now let's go to verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God. Underline. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. God's ordained to reveal it. It's been a hidden wisdom. It's been a mystery. Now he says, I'm going to reveal it to you. It's going to be for our glory. Which none of the princes, these are the hierarchy of hell, that are given authority. Daniel 11 and 12 tells us there's a prince of Persia. These princes are given the continents of nations. And when you pray for the United States and things that are coming up that people must decide, you rebuke the evil prince of the United States. You bind him. And when you're praying for China or Israel, this is what Daniel received as a revelation, is the prince of Persia withstood Gabriel from bringing the answer. When you pray, God answers. Now you shift into warfare. Because now you've got to pursue and to break all of the dominion, let's say, of these princes. But we have the power and the anointing of the blood covenant and the Holy Ghost. Because their knowledge is in vain. It comes to naught at the cross. So if you're really interceding for something, you begin to go over the scriptures of the cross and the blood washing and the glory of our salvation, because their strategy is annulled and defeated. And this is why verse 8 is our scripture, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Amen. Their knowledge ceases when you plead the blood. Amen. And bind the evil prince. Hallelujah. Now we go to one of the tremendous... Verse 9. I don't know. I love that Apostle Paul. He trips us up here. He quotes Scripture. But he shows you how a surface knowledge of the Word can betray you. Amen. Hold on with me now. And he quotes a scripture that is not true. Huh? It's not true to those that are filled with the Holy Ghost. See? There's a difference. Now let's see what it is. Read verse 9 as we read it. But as it is written, I hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. I believe that is over in the book of Isaiah 64, 4. And so he's quoting, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. And it's hard for you not to say, amen. I go along with that. But Paul trips us up. He says, don't be mesmerized. Who hath bewitched you? Who has showed you a false mirage? You watch out how you rightly divide the word. You can't take one verse. And so Paul takes that and by the next verse annuls it. You see what I mean now? but God hath revealed them. What's God revealing? By the Holy Ghost, your eyes going to see, your ears going to hear, it's going to enter into your heart, the things which God's prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth. The word searcheth there, the origin of that word in the Greek is a marine term that has to do with water. It's sonar. God knew the invention of sonar through the Holy Ghost, and this word has to do with the water of the Word. When you have the water of the Word, the Holy Ghost goes through the water and picks up the image of God like a sonar or a fish finder. And you get all the fish, spiritual fish you want. As you get into the Word, let the Word flow through you and pray in tongues, then the Holy Ghost goes and finds the deep things of God. Hallelujah!
Amen.
Searches! Sonar! And in the Amplified, who's got the Amplified again that has a loud voice? Read it, sister, loudly. Thank you, dear. Yes, ma'am. That's it now. That's it. Go back. Exploring. Say it again. Amen. So, yes. Go ahead. That's it. That's what I was looking for. Sounding. There's where you get the word sonar. You sound. And when you pray in tongues, the Spirit of God's sounding out the direction for you. The glory of a fresh anointing, the anointing to give and to receive, and the pleasantness of life. Hallelujah! And those that love Him. Now, the tragedy is the evangelical world, and the Roman world, and all of the idolatrous world, their eye will never see. Their ear will never hear. It will not enter into their heart the things that God's prepared for them that love them, because they've quenched the Holy Ghost. So the Scripture is true to those that quench the Spirit. But that's why Paul takes this mystery of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and he says, this is the key of the hidden wisdom. You'll open any door, spiritual door, by the power of the Holy Ghost, and your eye will see it. Sometimes I listen to actions of others, and I wonder what salvation they've got. Amen. Good Bible teachers, but when they get to the book of Acts, they throw out all the spiritual wisdom. Amen. So now, let's go now to Romans. Romans chapter 6. We'll go back to that. In Romans 6, 13. See, this is the importance of these camp meetings, and Brother Glenn and Irma Miller and many of the staff and ministers throughout the world. This is the importance of it. Why have deliverance? It's because your body is an instrument of righteousness. Amen. Let's read it. It's Romans 6:13. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. Starts with your yielding. But yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members, underline it please, as instruments of righteousness unto God. In other words, you're a lethal weapon when the Holy Ghost comes on you.
Hallelujah.
To all satanic power. God wants you and I to be a tremendous. In fact, the word for instrument, this surprised me. Greek word is hoplon. H-O-P. Write it down. Because you'll see it later on. Instrument of Righteousness is H-O-P-L-O-N. And hoplon. Now write down 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4. You're an instrument, you're a hoplon, you're a weapon of righteousness unto God. Now let's go to 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 4. Oh, this is a good one, isn't it? This is a favorite. I'm showing you how to take the anointing of the words and many things that you'll study in one verse. The crescendo of revelation is dynamic to grow, and the order of the Lord. And this is one of those places where the authority of the Lord is being blessed, hallelujah, and growing in our hearts. Let's praise Him. Loose, my brother. Release, my sister. We thank you, Father. We're a weapon of righteousness. Amen. Oh, I see. You got it over there? All right, let's read it. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Amen. Amen. Now, the word weapons is hoplon. Write it down. H-O-P-L-O-N. What I'm doing here is taking revelation of a word, tracing it through, and coming up with a glorious experience for the people of the Lord. For the weapons. In other words, what's these weapons? It's you. You're the instrument. Hallelujah. Of righteousness. And of course, there's other weapons that are implied here. Casting down imaginations, every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought. Yes, Brother Butch, that was a good ministry. Every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, let's stick for the weapons of our warfare. Now, write down the word for warfare. It's found in Strong's Concordance, and it's strateia. S-T-R-A-T-E-I-A. Strateia, for warfare, means a strategy of heaven. S-T-R-A-T-E-I-A, for warfare. We have the warfare, the strategic wisdom of the Holy Ghost. Now let's go to 1 Timothy 1:18. We know these scriptures, and it's good to tie them together. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 17 and 18. This is a beautiful verse. I like to read it. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Say it again. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Hallelujah. The only wise God. Amen, amen. Now this charge, verse 18, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good strategia. S-T-R-A-T-E-I-A. You and I have been given the strategy of the Holy Ghost to pull down every high thing and stronghold, and the way and the maneuverings of God is through the anointing of the creative prophetic word that is prophesied to an individual that equips you and I to bring down every vain imagination. And every prophecy, that's why it's beautiful to release the glory and let the Lord prophesy, move through the Word within you. Don't get the cart before the horse. When you prophesy, you better have enough Word in you that comes forth and is sustaining what you're saying. Prophecy is that encouraging, flowing of according to the measure of faith. Then there is that higher level of authority in the prophetic anointing. Hallelujah. That God gives the seer anointing. Everybody that prophesies don't have the seer anointing. And I don't know of anybody that has it as an office. Every now and then there'll be a discerning thing that is very good and solid. But hallelujah, I loose the seer anointing. That's really being released within the body of Christ throughout the world. Amen. Just put your hand on your forehead. Father, we release the seer anointing, the prophetic seer glory, that we will know things before they happen. The authority of the Word will be within us. Loose the anointing upon every forehead to be very perceptive. Amen. In the prophetic way. I missed something in the book of 1 Samuel there. For years, I didn't know, but when Saul came down looking for, with his servant, the donkeys that were lost, and it was just an occasion to get Saul to meet Samuel. And then Samuel, when he's taking Saul out of the city, and then he stops, and I can just sort of see him there. He said, young man, that's what he meant. He said, I'm going to tell you some things. And I'm going to tell you these things of what's going to happen to your life, down to the very detail, today. And he said, the reason why I'm going to tell you this is that you may be able to hear the Word of the Lord from now on. Isn't that something? The gifts of the Spirit, the final intent, is to not build up the one who releases. And woe unto those that will manipulate the gifts for their own advancement. But Samuel said, the reason I'm going to tell you the events, he said, you're going to go down this road now, and then you're going to see another road, and the sons of the prophets are going to be coming down, praising and prophesying, and you're going to join them and begin to prophesy. In other words, every detail was fulfilled, and Saul became another man. Hallelujah. Too bad he didn't continue. But see, the real purpose, the gift, and that's why the gift is without repentance. There are some that will go ahead with the gift, but then their heart is not right because they haven't heard the Word. I'm giving you these gifts. I'm giving you, Samuel said, for the purpose that you would continue to be under the spout where the glory comes out. Hallelujah! Don't lose that communication of every dynamic miracle and every dynamic prophetic and discernible effect in your life. Hallelujah. But know that that's why you're receiving this prophetic authority. Amen. Let's go to verse 4. I must close now. Chapter 4, please. Chapter 4, 14 of 1 Timothy. Now this is, God's going to use you in a network of anointing, and this is why there should be a presbytery. And therefore, that's those who would not push themselves or not have to jockey for office, you know what I mean? Put someone down, so just let the anointing speak for itself. That's why I go to Israel. There's always those who God has called. Meet us there. And then they have the anointing to prophesy, the presbytery, one right after the other, prophesies, gifts are given, revelations are given, because of this tremendous verse. Verse 14, let's read it. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Hallelujah. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, and thy profiting may appear to all. Hallelujah. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. There's a doctrine of the presbytery and of the glory and the anointing of prophetic network and to the releasing of the gifts of the Holy Ghost by prophecy, by the laying on of hands. Amen. I loose the prophetic presbytery. Amen. In every nation. In fact, I'd like to just have a school or a seminars of a week or two at a time on the presbytery. The glory of the hidden wisdom. Amen. And so, the Apostle Paul is bringing this out. Neglect not the gift that is in thee. It was given to thee. Now, I want you to write down by verse 14, this is my second closing, Romans 1:11. Romans 1:11. Paul says, I long to see you, Romans 1:11, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, that you may be established. For we that minister, I loose us into this confidence that Peter had, such as I have, give I thee. Divine deliverance, then you also have divine unction to impart. Paul says, I'm going to come to you. Now, in the Spirit-filled Life Bible, Dick Mills has taken that word impart, and I thought this was what I call apostolic privilege. I thought the Apostle Paul is the only one to flow in this dimension, or just a few. I didn't know anyone else. But the Lord made it clear to me through the Spirit-filled Life Bible that the Greek word here means impartation, gracious giving. You learn to impart spiritual gifts when you learn to give abundantly. Paul said, I've given myself, I've given my sustenance, I've given my life, therefore I'm able to give. I'm going to impart to you some spiritual gift. And those that will give and be a giver and benevolent, that's what the Greek word says. If you learn to impart and be concerned for others and give liberally, expect the anointing and the Holy Ghost to train you through the Word so that you can loose. The second dimension of deliverance is impartation. Amen. Let us fulfill the impartation of spiritual capabilities so that people are not going out empty. Clean, but empty. Raise your hands and let's praise the Lord. Because the strength of my name is upon thee, and I will bring it forth, the joy of the Lord and the capacity of my glory. For I've washed thee in my blood, and the anointing of my strength is upon thee. Do not fear, yea, come to the waters, and thou shalt see the drinking of the rivers of life. And the throne room of anointing shall be thy portion. Enter into the love chamber of thy God, for the Father who sees your devotion will reward you openly. For this is your finest hour. Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. I feel checked that I usually will just go and minister. There's others maybe later on that I can minister to. But I want you just to release yourself into speaking what the Father's saying to edify His people. Hallelujah. Let's have a release class in the divine abilities of our God. Amen. Just speak in the Spirit and allow the Holy Ghost to flow through you. Amen. All right. No, I'll go a little further than that. I thought we'd all do it corporately, but I'd like to have just a session of you to get released tonight in the magnifying of what the Father's saying to edify His people. Be brief and be positive. Someone asked me, it was Lorraine Wise, Glenn, asked me.
She called last week.
Oh, praise the Lord. Lorraine says, Brother Chuck, why don't you prophesy something it's wrong with me? In other words, what am I doing wrong? And I said, well, sister, I said, I just don't do the devil's business. He's the accuser of the brethren. And there are wisdom in saying things. Remember how Paul told Timothy? He said, now, Timothy, I don't want you, I want you to know, help me with that phrase, stir up the gift within you. See, oh, I want to put you in remembrance. To stir up the gift. And put you in remembrance. Isn't it beautiful? You know, there's ways of saying, and boy, the Holy Ghost takes charge. And we all know some of the goofs and so forth. But it's beautiful. Now, be brief, be positive. And also, if two began, just one hold silent, the other go ahead, and then take your turn. But let's allow the anointing of the Spirit. I want us to have a corporate prophetic unction that, hallelujah, that you can flow in it. There's others that already flow in this dimension. But let us just speak it out. I want you to pray in the Holy Ghost. But allow the Spirit of God then, what is the Father saying? And don't be lengthy in your release, but just, and some might just be saying two or three words, but maybe the Lord will give you more later on. Let's pray in the Spirit now, and just put everything out of your lap, if you please. Let's have a release class. This is a workshop of the Holy Ghost. Marianne and I taught this at PTL Club every other month. We had thousands that moved in the gifts of the Holy Ghost. Put your hands to where your palms are upward and in a relaxed position. You don't have to raise them, just in a relaxed position. All right. Blessed Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus, Father, speak to us. Let's pray in the Spirit now. See, now we don't need a message in tongues. You just go ahead and speak what God is saying. What is the Father saying? Let the unction loose my authority, saith the Lord, and let that unction come forth. Speak it out now, so that all can hear. Yes. Stand up so it'll be recorded. Just stand up and release it. Just the one who's given it. Just stand up and release the word of the Lord. What is the Father saying? Don't be backward. Be bold to bless His people. Get your release. Hallelujah, hallelujah. There might be a scripture that comes to you. Don't think it's got to be something. It's just that anointing of the Word within you. Just speak it out. Hallelujah. Yes.
Now you are entering into the beautiful intimacy which you cannot even fathom.
Yes. Beautiful. All right. Someone else, quickly. We got a lot to do. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Someone else. Let's seal that. Everyone that speaks, seal it to your heart. Amen. This is the strength of the body.
You will see and behold the mercies of God that I have towards you.
All right. The Lord may give you more. Amen. So
children, you are my chosen ones. I have called you by my name. You are graven in the palms of my hands.
Praise the Lord.
If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, I will heal their land.
See that how that harmonized? Someone else. Just stand up. Take your authority. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yes.
We are three in one, and you are one with me.
Hallelujah. Good, good. Amen.
Indeed, the weight of my glory is in the balance.
Amen. Hallelujah. That's good. Get your release. Hallelujah.
As each one of you long for ecstasy, I am your lover. All of you want to be loved. You come into this world and you desire love. I am love. I am your ecstasy. I am the highest high. There is no higher high. I am most high, and I desire
Thank
to bring you.
You
into an intimacy with you,
Thank
with
you.
Me,
Thank you.
That you can never know in this realm, in the worldly realm.
Thank you, Lord. Someone else. What is the Father saying to bless? Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
And I
pray bless your people. Yes. Hallelujah. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Masandalabashanda. Amen. Yes. Let's stick with the anointing now that's for others to be released. Amen. Sisters already gave that release. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Someone else. Amen. Amen. Glory
to God. Awaken thee in the night season and instruct thee the way that thou should go.
Say that again.
I will awaken thee in the night season and I will show thee the way to go.
That's Psalm 16, verse 7. Counsel of the Lord during the night season. Hallelujah. We praise you, Father God. We praise you. See, in this type of atmosphere, this is all, it's an example. If you say, well, I don't know, I don't have anything. Yes, the gift is within you. Don't neglect it. Just loose that authority and speak according to that anointing of the Word. You will pray in the Spirit. People call me from all over the world, and it's hard for me to... They'll say, well, pray for me. And I'll start out, well, now, Lord bless our sister, our brother, you know, bless them. And I'll just go right into speaking instead of petitioning. See it? Instead of just petitioning all the time, speak what they need. Set them free in a prophetic utterance. Hallelujah. God has said it. That settles it. All right. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, all right. Our time is... those that I want to say that will be here tomorrow, and we'll minister to those that can be here, and everyone that has not been ministered to will certainly be here tomorrow to do that. And if anybody can't be here, that'd be fine. I'll stay a little longer. Is that all right, Brother Glenn? All right. But we've been here every night, and it's a blessing. Amen. We want you to make a little volition to be here tomorrow, and we will go into a dimension of the Word that will be a real awakening. And I think it's good to know the Word. Amen. So thank you very much. Let's all stand and remember all these announcements. And I do encourage you to get the manual on deliverance and Annie's books. There's other books there that will really be a blessing to your heart. And Dr. or Judge Bork, I've enjoyed just being aware of what is going on and how to pray or to speak a creative word. I can recognize now, sometimes we just think it's in individuals, but now, the more I know in the Word and in the authority of that, the wisdom God gives us, how to counteract satanic or that which is coming against the people. Anything else, Brother Glenn? Let's pray in the Spirit. We're dismissed under the anointing and the power and the presence of the Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your authority and the blessing of the Lord. Loose the glory. Loose the drink offering in every one of us. For out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water if you drink of me. Amen, amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.